Hey, what's going on, guys? Captain Carlos here with Marea Fishing. My apologies from the heart. I know it's been a while since I've connected here on the podcast. Just been busy with life, kids, family, work, you know, all that stuff. But I wanted to start the new season off right, and we're going to go after one of the coolest topics and targets that you can pretty much encounter over here in saltwater. We're talking about yellowfin tuna. For those of you guys that aren't familiar with that is, it's a fish that over here grows a big one, maybe just over 100 pounds between here in Florida and the Bahamas. But they do get around the world up to over 300 pounds. They get huge. So, but we're going to go over how to target them here, a couple different tactics, techniques. We're going to go over the rods, the reels, the rigs, the methods of how to target them, what you're going to need to know, the know-how. So without further ado, I'm going to dive right into it. So I've been chasing these things almost two decades over here in Florida and the Bahamas. I say the Bahamas because a lot of my trips are running over the Bahamas to chase these things. Although, just recently, funny enough, this time of year, as the water temperatures begin to rise, they start showing up all up and down the Florida coast as well. There's a guy actually a couple days ago, as I'm talking to you guys on this podcast, that caught one flying a kite just off the edge, maybe 100, 150, 180 feet of water, ate a kite bait, probably a goggle eye, okay, that blow up on a goggle eye, and the fish was over 100 pounds. So that's a pretty hefty battle on 20 pound to 30 pound, conventional, live bait setups. So, awesome fish, okay, they're very explosive, especially if you get them on a kite bait. Oh my god, like that is the mecca of tuna fishing. If you get these things to come up on a kite, the visual aspect alone, that's what keeps you coming back out there. All right, occasionally here in Florida, just I want to say recently over the last 5 years or so, we even have been getting some bluefin tuna coming up on the kites and just blowing up on spreads, and you pretty much got no shot at those guys though, because the average fish is 500 plus, so you're not going to get them on 20 to 30 pound setups, but exciting nonetheless, right? So going back to the yellowfin, smaller cousin to the bluefin, okay, but delicious on the dinner table, as you can imagine. Sashimi, sushi, some fresh tuna salad too. I mean, a couple different ways to cook it. It's awesome. But more importantly, they are a blast to battle. Like on medium, I don't even want to say medium heavy tackle, because we actually catch these things on big spinners too, big spinning rods, with poppers and stick baits. So, but you're going to want to have a couple heavier spinners on board, okay? Because one of the tactics that you're going to be deploying is running and gunning, okay? That's probably the number one tactic, in fact. When a lot of guys are looking to target these, they're waiting until the water temperatures begin to rise, like this time of year, and as soon as that happens, you go looking for the birds, okay? You are not going to go looking for the birds, let me make this clear, unless your boat is equipped with a kick-ass radar system. You need to have the right equipment on board. If you're going out there blindly, yeah, you'll be able to maybe come across, that mecca flock of birds that the fish are just all frenzied up on, right? But not likely. Okay, just being straight up with you. You need to have a good radar on board and something that you could really tweak out the gain so you can really dive in and see where those flocks of birds are heading, or you're near any. You are going to burn some fuel with this type of tactic. So it's not for the faint of heart, okay? If the guys are committed and really want to go catch a yellowfin and they have some bucks, a couple bucks saved up, you're going to spend some money on fuel, some gas money. So save it up, but the reward is there. I can tell you that. Okay. We had a trip, I think it was last year. It was just out of the season and we the weather window was right. It was only, foot to 2 foot chop, wasn't too bad. So we ran across, checked in, ran looking for the birds. We were almost about to give up. We spent probably an hour and a half, 2 hours burning fuel, and we ran a solid 70 to 80 miles, okay, just going in one direction. And we finally came across a flock of birds, and it wasn't a lot of birds, but it was the right ones. And it was, let me tell you, it was the right fish underneath. The first fish we saw blow up was over 100 pounds, okay, just breaking the water. Looked like a crater opened up in the water. It was awesome. So we were very fortunate. I think we ended up catching like 8 or 10 off of that pack, and they were still eating, but we caught more than, you know, what we needed. We had an epic trip, actually. We got very lucky. We ended up catching a wahoo and then like 5 or 6 mahi on the way back too, so we filled the boxes. But that was all about being prepared, and that's what I'm trying to express to you guys. We had all the right tackle on board. All the right tackle meaning you don't want to use, you know, Walmart specials for this type of fishing, okay? You need to be having gear that's gonna have smooth drag systems, okay? The rods are built with the best components out there, you know, good quality components, because these fish are gonna test your tackle and then some. All right. When they hit your bait, you know, live bait, stick baits, poppers, chunk baits, whatever, whenever they're going to go after your bait, they're usually doing about 20 to 30 miles an hour. So they're moving when they eat it. So you need to have something that can put the brakes on them, stop them, but it's going to hold up and has enough backbone that, and at the same time have the backbone, but not be so damn cumbersome. Right, because you, a lot of these fish you could actually stand up fight, you know. You don't have to leave it just in the rod holder. If you've got a nice little light belt set up, you could fight them no problem. Okay, but I like using the Daiwas. I'm a big fan of the Daiwas. So like a Saltiga 50 with braided line, 50 pound braid, and I'll put a little top shot, you know, of 50, maybe another 50 feet on the front, you know, leading up to the leader. But that's going to hold, God, 600 yards, you know, 50 pounds. So we're pretty good there. If you hook a tiger shark that eats your tuna, then you might be SOL, right? But you want something that has two speeds. It will definitely help you, okay, as far as the battle, you know, and being locked into this fish. For those of you that aren't familiar with the two-speed reel, you've got a high gear and a low gear. The high gear is to retrieve, you know, the line quickly, but when the fish dives down and you can't crank because the teeth on the high gear are usually a lot smaller, so that's why, you know, you're able to retrieve it a lot quicker, you know, the line a lot quicker. You can pop it into the low gear when they go down deep and they dive, okay? Then you're gonna have more leverage in your favor. So hence the fact why they make these two speed reels for bigger fish like tuna, like swordfish, like marlin. So, you know, something in the 50 pound class that can hold, you know, 40, 50 pound braided line minimum or mono. If you like mono, I'm definitely a fan of mono. I like the stretch. Like I said, if you're using the braid, you still got to have a little bit of mono to have that stretch. It's all about shock absorption, because when they eat, they're going fast. Like I've mentioned, I'm saying it again, just to kind of get that point across. the setups we're using, like I said, 50 pound class reels, the rods, 6-foot to 7-foot boat rods, conventional rods. Now it's going to vary depending on the tactic. If you're using the kite fishing approach, so with some live bait, I like the 7-foot rods, because you can, they're a little easier to keep the fish away from the boat, you know, and to deploy the bait, you know, just more comfortable in general. So that's going to be like a 20 to 40 pound blank on those setups. On the drifting or chunking setups, those can be anywhere from 6 to 7 foot. That's kind of personal preference. Again, I lean towards the 7, just so when you get the fish close, you can keep it away from the motors. You know, a lot of times they tend to go around the outboards in the back of the boat. You know, that extra foot kind of goes in your favor, not the fish's favor, to keep them away from those propellers, right? So Those are your two kind of setups. And then the third one's going to be, you know, going back to the spinners that we talked about. 7 foot, 20 to 50, 20 to 40 pound class spinning outfit, kind of on the heavier side for sure for the spinning. And then you want the reel to have a capacity that's going to hold for 500 yards minimum of 50 pound braid. Okay. Because, like I said, when these fish hit, you're losing line immediately as soon as they hit. Okay. And they usually take a couple good runs. You have a boat, you can chase them down, but you still want to have that line capacity in reserve, so to speak, because you don't know when Mr. Taxman's going to be coming by. So on the spinning outfit, okay, that's definitely used under the running and gunning approach. So when you see the fish, you know, under the birds kind of blowing up, you're going to be casting big poppers, okay, or gliding stick bait. That's probably my second favorite. I want you to just imagine a topwater walking the dog, but it kind of does it under the water. So it just kind of glides, you know, very calmly and subtly under the water, looking kind of like a disoriented flying fish. That's why it works so well. When you're picking your lures out, being the popper or your glide baits, kind of stick to the, you know, the local bait fish patterns, matching the hatch, so to speak. Okay. Blues and whites, greens, yellows, like a baby mahi or a little rainbow runner, stuff like that, or a bar jack. Stick to that and you'll be good. All right. I think we kind of dialed it all in here. If one other thing I could share with you on your MFDs or your displays on the boat, you know, if you can keep an eye on the water temperature and you see water temperature breaks, that's also going to help locate these fish in combination with, you know, finding the birds and your radar. So you got to kind of tune in all of those little things. All right. So that's pretty much it. I think we've dialed in what we wanted to talk about here in this podcast. I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you again. Apologies. I'm going to go and say I'm sorry again. It's been a while. Just busy, man. I'm very busy. So, but, you know, stay tuned. We'll have some more stuff coming up. And God bless. If you did enjoy this, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Our YouTube channel is about to hit 1 million views. Super stoked about that. Thanks so much for the support. And God bless. We'll see you soon.